Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
There are a lot of things that matter to me: family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, let me talk about talk. Here we go.
He said he living life as a gringo. Where you question where you fit in every time you mingle. They say you do this with not enough that.
My rapping is really bad. This life as a gringo.
Yes, hello and welcome to another episode of Life as a Gringo. I am Dramos, of course. And man, today's show, I'm excited because we're getting back to a bit of the roots of this show, right? And anybody who's been with us since day one, you already know this is a show that was, conceptualized by myself to tackle, you know, the life of those of us who kind of feel like we never quite fit in, right? We exist in this gray area within our own culture. And I wanted to kind of dive a bit deeper into that for today's show, specifically inspired by, and I tried finding, I couldn't find the article that I was referencing on our Thursday Trends episode last week, or a couple weeks ago, actually, at this point, but I was referencing an article that I read that kind of made the point about Latinos. Oftentimes, you know, those of us here in the States had to kind of choose, are we going to associate ourselves more with Black culture or white culture, right? And obviously for some of us, depending on, your area that you grew up in or your physical attributes, that decision was often made for you, you know. But I thought it was a really fascinating way to look at things, right? And also tying into it like the census and what happened recently when I was getting my COVID test, not my COVID test, my COVID shot, I should say. And, you know, they make you fill out all the information. They make you fill out like your race, ethnicity, all that stuff, right? And you can put Latino, but then you have to put like white, black, indigenous, Asian, whatever it is. And I always check other on that one. And my girlfriend, who's a bit more militant than I am, had to make her opinion known out loud that you know, she didn't identify with any of the above. But I mean, it all is, I think, sparking this conversation that many of us are beginning to have. And I think that the country as a whole is beginning to have, which we'll dive into as far as some of the updates to the census and some of the studies that have been going on in this country. But I think as a whole, for me, I've often wondered, like, where were we during some of these really historical civil rights movements? You know, where were we during segregation? Where did Latinos fall on the topic of conversation? You know, where were we included or left out of? And it's a very foggy history, right? It's not spoken about. There's not a lot of information. And I kind of, you know, feel like that might be the basis for why we sort of have a hard time making our voices heard in this country, at least historically. Why we have a hard time, you know, having people speak to our needs, right? And we oftentimes, you know, I've talked about this a million and one times, you know, where you look at the amazing job that our Black brothers and sisters have done of you know, really making some noise and making people pay attention to the causes that directly affect the community. And sadly, it feels like Latinos as a whole, we haven't been able to do the same. And I think a lot of this discussion of kind of where we don't really exist in this country kind of on paper is at the root of this, right? And I want to just kind of touch on that as a whole, you know, and talk about, man, for a lot of us, I've mentioned this a bunch, but for a lot of us, where we felt like we kind of had to assimilate into white culture in order to find some sort of success, right? And some of us, you know, did it unknowingly, only to backtrack and kind of really want to embrace who we are. And I think that's why we're all, you know, here, you know, in this community that we've been building together with this Life as a Gringo podcast. So I know it's kind of a long-winded intro to what we're talking about today, but, you know, this is all about living in that gray area. And I want to just talk about it from a statistical standpoint in this country, from a historical one, you know, and from a theorized one as far as, you know, what is going on in our community currently, as well as, you know, what was historically the norm as far as, you know, how we were represented or how we saw ourselves in this country. So, man, we'll get into a bit of my story and my personal attachment to this, as well as some of the questions that I personally was asking and curious about for our Mi Gente segment. But first, let's do a bit of a deep dive into some of the studies, some of the census activities that have been going on as of late. We'll do that deep dive in a segment that we call For the People in the Back.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
All right, so I mentioned the census, and I mentioned, you know, the idea of, like, you have to check a box of where you fit into white, black, indigenous, you know, whatever it is. I always, again, put other and don't associate myself, even if I've been called white passing, you know, I don't associate myself as white, you know. And I don't remember what I would have put when I was younger if I would have had to fill these things out, maybe for, like, SATs or something like that, but you know, I think if this is a growing sort of thing that is becoming the norm in our community as of late, especially, you know, my generation and younger, where we are making a point to want to be seen, right? And we'll get into all that. I don't want to kind of steer too far ahead, but let's kind of start with this NPR article that covered this really comprehensive project that the census did, right? Where they sent out 17 different alternative questionnaires of the 2010 census. And some of those were a combined question where they actually put Hispanic or Latino in there. And I've covered, you know, Hispanic versus Latino or Latinx in a previous episode, if you want to check that out. But they also, alongside that, put other options for racial groups, right? So they had more than 750 households involved in this project. And they went back and they interviewed about 1 in 6 of those individuals who filled out that form. And then they got a telephone re-interview where they got called back. And some of the questions I quote were, you checked white for your race. Is that how you identify in your daily life? Is that how other people see you? So they found that for Latinos who checked white, they did not identify with the term, right? So the interviews asked them, quote, so why did you check this? And their response was, quote, because there was nothing else. I don't fit in anywhere else. There's nothing else to put, right? And yeah, I think that that's a very telling right there. It's almost a tagline to our show of I don't fit in anywhere else, right? And it's sort of this like, man, it's subconscious sort of assimilation where you don't feel like you fit in anywhere, so you kind of just have to go to what is like the closest proximity to maybe how you physically look or where you grew up, right? And I think that this is setting kind of the tone for the conversation and setting the base for why we as Latinos, you know, oftentimes don't have a seat at the table when you talk about historical, you know, civil rights movement or even, you know, having our needs met in this country. Because once again, you know, we have existed in this gray area that has forced us to choose one option that doesn't fully represent us. And then as a result, you know, we actually don't have our true voice heard because we're being counted as something else that we're actually not, right? And I think the census is a great example of that, right? It's almost like, again, you don't have any choice, so you just got to pick a side. And many Latinos will pick, a white side because they might be quote unquote white passing, right? Now, most academics, and this is continuing on with this article, they say most academics have hypothesized, like Nate Cohn did, that this has to do with assimilation, right? Cultural assimilation and structural assimilation. Or they think it has to do with color. Lighter skinned people check white, darker skinned people check other. What Nate says is, quote, what I found in my research is that when you look at the national data for who checks white and who checks other, you see people who check white are a little higher income, a little higher educated, perhaps less likely to speak Spanish. And I want to pause for a second right there because they said people who check white are of a little higher income, right? And that's the data point that they're talking about in this study that they did, and perhaps less likely to speak Spanish, right? And I think that this begins to speak again to the assimilation that they mentioned, right? But you think about that data point, the Latinos who are identifying as white are the ones who are getting the higher income, right? And who maybe don't speak Spanish are getting further and further away from their culture. And again, that's not to say you have to speak Spanish to be attached to your culture, right? We've had that conversation. I don't speak fluent Spanish, right? But I think it does speak to the idea that getting closer to whiteness makes you feel like you have more of a chance of success. And actually in this data point, the fact that these people who have been associating themselves with whiteness are actually getting paid higher, there is some sort of unfortunate truth, it seems like, in our country, right? So that was the national data, right? Now you have Sonia Tafoya, who did a Pew report called Shades of Belonging, and she actually studied in Texas some of these similar cases, right? And what she says, quote, what I looked at and found in Texas was that it was actually the lowest income group that was most likely to check white, and that people who checked white were as likely to speak Spanish as those who checked other race. And so I looked at it as a measure of ideology. Those people who checked white were more identified with this ideology of using whiteness as a strategy, while those who checked other were more identified with anti-racist politics, or they identified more or with immigrants, with African Americans. So it wasn't so much color or assimilation, but what strategy they used to combat the discrimination that they faced, end quote. And I would argue that this is a part of assimilation, but what she's saying here specifically in Texas is kind of maybe people trying to emulate what they saw on a national level as far as the idea that checking white was actually a strategy towards a better life, right? And an easier life. And that those who checked other were maybe taking the more difficult road of wanting to combat some of the political issues in this country and identifying themselves with African Americans and the plight that they've faced in this country. Right? And I think that this is a really interesting conversation because it kind of showcases old world versus new world, right? And I know they're kind of, you know, combating results almost here when you have that first study that I showed on a national level and this one specifically in Texas. But I think, again, it does show a really historical, man, sad fact that I've talked about a bunch here on the podcast. But it's the idea that much of the sort of old generation or people who are, you know, still very much attached to the culture of their ancestry as far as immigration goes, many of them feel that they have to strategize in order to get accepted in this country. And a part of that is sort of, you know, leaving a bit of their culture behind, right? And I know it might be a little bit dramatic because we're all just checking boxes at the doctor's office or fucking, you know, entering a random census that gets mailed to us, right? But there is an ideology to this, to the idea that assimilating to whiteness can help you and in this study, like I said, you know, combat discrimination, right? And I think that it's a very telling thing for, once again, the point of what happened to our history in this country, what happened to our causes that we are longing for, that we need to be heard in this country. And I think it's a long reality that this country has proven itself to not be safe for people, you know, of color. And we as Latinos have a unique position where, you know, depending on your skin tone or, you know, or your proximity as far as location geographically goes, you may have the ability to escape some of the plight that comes along with racism and discrimination as long as you conform to whiteness in some sort of way, right? And I think that much of that mindset of let's take the path of least resistance has sort of allowed the whitewashing of our history to happen, has allowed us to be left out of the history books, has allowed us to be left out of the political conversations, you know, far and wide, right? And it has allowed us to kind of be, you know, really just placed on the back burner and sort of be an afterthought for these politicians, right? Again, because we decided that we were going to assimilate or try and get our proximity to whiteness, you know, as quickly and closely as possible so that we can have an easier life. And as a result, we've sort of harmed the next generation who wants to maybe feel a bit more connected to their culture and their community and wants to stand up, you know, against the discrimination they face rather than trying to just sort of dull it by hiding a part of themselves, right? Our generation, I feel like, wants to correct these things and stand up against it rather than having to hide ourselves behind closed doors as a means to protect ourselves, right? Now, I'm gonna dive into a couple different studies here. I'm gonna quickly talk about the Pew Research Center here. And this is an article I found on their website. I'll post links to all this stuff in the show notes if you wanna read the full articles. They're pretty lengthy and they go in a lot more depth than I have time to here for the podcast. But according to the Pew Research Center, for Latinos and non-Latinos alike, skin color is an important dimension of identity that can affect their daily lives. To measure this dimension of race, the survey they did asked Latino respondents to identify the skin color that best resembled their own using a version of the Yaden-Osterfeld scale. And they basically had respondents, you know, being shown 10 skin color ranges that, you know, went from fair to dark. And they said that 8 in 10 Latinos selected one of the 4 lightest skin colors, with the second lightest ranking most common, 28%, followed by the third, 21%, and the fourth lightest colors, 17%. By contrast, only 3% of Latino respondents in total selected one of the 4 darkest skin colors, right? And this is obviously an incredibly important conversation when it comes to colorism in our own community, but also, man, the poison that has come, you know, in our minds, that has been passed down generation after generation, the generational curse of not loving ourselves, right? And again, feeling like the proximity to whiteness is our best bet for safety and the ability to thrive in this country. Again, I mean, you know, you have the majority of Latinos here, 8 in 10, selecting the 4 lightest skin colors to represent them, right? Because we've been taught that the closer to whiteness we are, the more superior we are, the better life that we can have for ourselves, the easier that it is to assimilate into American culture and thus live the American dream, right? And I think this is another really important idea when it comes to why our history has been hidden and why now we have to like push back to have our voices heard, you know? And it seems like we're decades behind our Black brothers and sisters when it comes to fighting for our needs, right? And a lot of this, again, is based upon this idea that whiteness is more valuable, or at the very least, whiteness is the safest route for us to take. Therefore, we again have to hide where we come from, our ancestry, our culture, you know, who we truly are, just to get a fair shake in this country. Now, the last thing I'm going to read here is another census result. And this is actually a study done for the 2020 census. And this is from the Los Angeles Times who wrote this article. Again, I'm going to quickly kind of breeze through. I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers at y'all today, but they said that, quote, the share of Latinos who identified their race as white in the 2020 census fell from about 53% in 2010 to about 20% in 2020. The share who identified as other rose from 37% to 42%. And the share identifying as two or more races jumped from 6% to 33%, right? And this, again, the original one I started with was the 2010 census. Now, this one is the 2020 census, right? So it's showing you that there is a move happening amongst our community to embrace our identity and to no longer shun it, but to understand that we have to proudly stand up and make people aware that we are here, that we have a voice, right? And this is something I like to remind people, because I know I've had people hit me up before and I've expressed a lot of frustration about why our needs aren't being met, right? We hear so much about the tagline of black and brown this, black and brown that. But the reality is, you know, we often get left in the dust, right? Our black brothers and sisters, you know, their needs are met far more specifically, or at least heard far more specifically than ours are, right? The politicians speak to them far more directly than they do to us. And it's because, again, of this previous generation that saw the proximity to whiteness as their best bet at a happy life, right? And now, as you see this next generation, that's what this article talks about, right? They say, quote, yet another part of the census story may be explained by the numbers of Latino millennials who are developing an identity as, quote, people of color, often in alliance with Black, Asian American, and Indigenous groups. The BIPOC label has been adopted and supported by young people of many ethnic and racial groups since the racial justice protests prompted by the May 2020 police murder of George Floyd, right? And again, I want to use this as a reminder to those of you who have expressed frustration about how our voices aren't being heard. Think about how sort of new this mindset shift is. Now, I personally think that it was happening prior to the murder of George Floyd in 2020, but I believe that only accelerated, you know, where we are as a community and understanding that we don't want to be associated with whiteness and all of the atrocities that they have done to ourselves and other people of color. We prefer to be associated, you know, as persons of color along with these other demographics that have been persecuted by white people, right? Understanding that it's not a positive thing to be associated with white culture in this country anymore. And that if we truly want to have our voices heard, you know, and to be quite honest, even beyond just wanting to have our voices heard, that we want to be celebrated. You know, we want our culture to be celebrated beyond just wanting to have our needs met. We also want to feel seen, right? We don't want to fucking hide ourselves anymore. You know, I could speak to that for many of us who listen to this podcast. The reason we had this sort of reckoning within us that made us begin to embrace our culture and our community far more, like I've talked about, like so many of you expressed to me where you've related, it's because we see the value in our community. We see the value in our ancestry, where we come from, in our culture, and see the beauty in it. And we want to make sure that we are continuing on that legacy. And we are not allowing any of these prehistoric ideas of whiteness and white superiority and white supremacy to make us turn our back on our community anymore. And that to me is the beautiful thing. And that's what, as frustrating as certain elements may be, right? To me, when I look to that in this 2020 census, that is making me incredibly optimistic for the future, for the fact that we are truly embracing ourselves for the first time in history. Now, this article goes on to say, and this was an interesting sort of fact that I had kind of felt, but you know, I it was interesting to hear somebody put it into words. They go on to say, quote, "It turns out that the Mexican and Central American immigrants who moved to South Los Angeles in the late 1980s did see themselves as distinct from the homegrown Black population," right? "Monolingualism, anti-Black prejudice brought from their countries of origin, and street violence of the 1980s and 90s led this first generation to shut in and shut out, largely keeping their distance from African-American neighbors," right? So it's talking about that previous generation, as I mentioned, where they felt maybe some sort of superiority to Black people in this country, or at the very least, understood that aligning themselves with the Black people in this country would only set them back, right? And this article then goes on to say, quote, "Not so their children, second-generation Latinos who grew up with Black friends, listened to hip-hop, and were inspired by Black teachers, mentors, and social justice advocates. Their lives were not free of Black-Brown tensions, but the upshot is this. They developed a sense of self and home defined by place-based identity, one articulated as a strong affinity with Black people, Black culture, and the struggle for racial equity," end quote, right? And they're throwing a lot of fancy words and terminology there. But basically what they're saying is, for those of us who grew up in areas where we were around our community, chances are we were also living shoulder to shoulder with the Black community, right? It's said in I can't remember what the statistic was. In one of the articles, it mentions it specifically, but it says that urban cities in this country that have high populations of Latinos also have high populations of African-Americans living amongst each other, right? My family's from the Bronx. When I was younger, I grew up in the Bronx, and I was heavily influenced by Black culture. You know, civil rights movement had a huge effect on me as a very little kid. You know, obviously, when it comes to hip hop, that was one of my first loves as far as music goes, you know, and that's what I talk about on this podcast, is that we are that next generation that was influenced by all of those things. And we find ourselves sort of fighting back against certain old world ideas, right? And that was a great sort of observation, specifically talking about Los Angeles, but I think that's probably relevant throughout much of the country, where you have a similar demographic of Black and Brown people living amongst each other, right? Where the previous generation was reliving old, you know, tropes and old colorism and racism, as well as, you know, seeing the hardships that Black people in this country were going through and not wanting any part of it. And feeling like, you know, the more they distance themselves and the more they align themselves with whiteness, they had a better shot once again at, you know, making something of themselves in this country. Where now our, you know, generation, when you talk about the millennials and younger, you know, and maybe some people of who are a bit older would fall into that as well. But, you know, we are celebrating the Black culture that we grew up alongside and being inspired by the way that, you know, many of the Black leaders have fought for the rights of African Americans in this country and continue to do so. And it's inspired us to want to take up our own causes, right? And I think that that's kind of what our generation is saying, right? We are seeing what it means to be Black and proud in this country and to fight for your community and to celebrate your culture. And we are inspired by that. And you know, maybe there's certain parts of that bleed into ours, but I think that inspiration is then leading us to ask those questions. Where are our voices? Where are our prominent figures fighting on behalf of us? Where are our, you know, organizations that are coming together? You know, fuck, well, what are the politicians doing for us specifically, right? Those are all questions that we're now asking because of the influence of growing up, you know, around the African-American community, right? And to me, that's a beautiful thing, because we learn to love ourselves as a result, right? We've learned to see what it looks like to celebrate your culture, to fight on behalf of your culture, and to advocate for yourself and to advocate for the ability to show up as yourself authentically in a world that tells you if it ain't white, it ain't right, you know, at the risk of sounding corny there, right? But I think for Black people, they had no choice, right? They obviously are not white. they don't have the opportunity to assimilate into whiteness as easily, you know? And I think for those of us who maybe can be white passing, that temptation was oftentimes, followed through with. And I think now we are seeing that even if we can pass for white, you know, even if we are being offered the ability to enter some of those rooms, we're saying no, unless we can show up as our true authentic self, because we are appreciating and understanding the value that our community and culture does have to offer. And we don't want to hide that just for the sake of making white people in this country feel more comfortable or more willing to give us a shot or an opportunity, right? And man, yeah, I'm getting kind of fired up from this whole topic and this whole conversation, and I hope it's resonating with some of you, and I hope that it's answering some of those questions about why haven't we been doing more as a community for our needs, you know, for the greater good, right? And I want to dive a bit more into some of the history that also I feel like might define why we're oftentimes left out of these conversations, and historically, you know, why there are so many like gaps in between where we exist in this country. So we'll dive into that in our Mi Gente segment, where it's some of the personal questions as far as like what I've always wondered, I researched for today's episode. So we'll do that. But first, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma. Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
I love sharing positive tips with my listeners on everything from health challenges to relationship troubles, because life happens, baby, but you got this. Hi there, I'm Honey German, and I know we can all use some positive energy these days. That's why I make sure to empower my community, because a bit of motivation and support can go a long way. And luckily, we have State Farm to support us. Like when you talk to a State Farm agent to choose the coverage you need, and they have the options to protect the things you value most. It's the perfect positive tip you need. State Farm is also a big supporter of the My Cultura podcast network, where we as podcast hosts get to share our experiences and stories. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.
All right, so I know I can't be alone in this. I've always personally wondered, like, where the fuck were Latinos during some of these really big moments in history, right? Like, where were we during the times of segregation? Like, where do we fall into that? Civil rights movement, all of the above, right? Like, it almost feels like our stories don't exist until a certain point, right? It's like the missing years of Jesus in the Bible, right? Like, Latinos don't exist during like the civil rights movement, right? And I was always curious, like, you know, did we, you know, experience that same sort of segregation and racism, you know, and were we accepted into these white communities? Did we find ourselves with the black communities? And I think I found a really interesting sort of article that I think started speaking to that question that I had, right? And this was a piece from USA Today. And it was called What a Shopping Mall Taught Me and My Friends About Latinos, Race, and Segregation. And it's by Jorge Rana Shemin. And again, I'm going to put the links to all this stuff if you guys want to check it out in the show notes. But basically, he's telling the story of himself growing up, right? And talks about how as a kid, him and two of his other Latin friends went to a mall, right? And they go, to go use the bathroom. And they say the bathroom situation is basically a women's restroom, a men's restroom, and then a coloreds only restroom, right? And as they're confused, they're not really sure where the fuck they're supposed to go in, as far as they go in the white men's bathroom or the bathroom for colored people. There's some lady that they say who looks official, and she basically tells them where they're supposed to be able to go into, right? Now, apparently one of the three boys is darker skinned. He has, you know, curly hair. So she tells him, you have to go use the colored bathroom, while the other two boys who are lighter skinned Latinos are actually able to go into the white restroom. And to me, this answered sort of a lot of those questions that I was having, right? As far as where did Latinos fall during these times? And again, those of us who were able to be white passing or didn't have, you know, darker skin or that curly hair, we were able to kind of escape some of the atrocities that happened during these segregation times and escape some of the racism. I'm sure not all of it, but, you know, some of this, you know, horrific racism that we've seen as far as separate water fountains, bathrooms, and all this type of stuff, man. You know, this kind of began to answer certain questions for me as far as where we fell during this time period. And also, why there isn't much written about our experience during that time, right? Because basically we had to pick a side. Either we were black or we were white. And there was no real gray area, right? The country didn't really acknowledge us as far as a part of the bigger picture. We weren't a part of this bigger argument originally. And when I say we weren't a part of this, I don't want to be alienating Afro-Latinos, right? Because you're very much a part of our community. I'm just generalizing as a whole, right? The Afro-Latinos, had to claim their blackness during that time, right? And the white-passing Latinos with more European features claimed their whiteness, you know? And we weren't a complete or whole community, you know? We were basically split into two. And where did you fall on that spectrum? And what I also found to be interesting, though, is that there were certain instances and areas where we did actually have a part of that civil rights history, right? So last thing I want to mention here is this article by Nicholas Delfin, and it's by Education Week, and it's called Hispanics Are Forgotten in Civil Rights History. And he references a few different cases, but this one specifically I thought was pretty prevalent, right? He says, when discussing civil rights milestones, where are the discussions about Mendez versus Westminster School District of Orange County? This 1946 case challenged the racial segregation that was occurring in Orange County, California schools against Mexicans and Mexican Americans. This landmark litigation was instrumental in repealing many of the segregationist provisions in California law, but is not presented at all in the canon of civil rights milestones. In fact, even as a Hispanic, I had not heard of this case until Barack Obama awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Sylvia Mendez, the daughter of the lead plaintiff of the lawsuit in February 2011. and I searched for who she was and why she was being honored, end quote, right? So we were a part of some of these really historic cases, and this one specifically speaks of the precedent that it set when it came to California segregation law. But again, our story is not shared. We are not discussed when it comes to the civil rights movement. Our place during this time period is not mentioned in the textbooks, at least not the ones that I studied, right? And I think obviously there is a bit of I'm sure, racism against Latinos, and specifically for this case that we're talking about Mexicans in this country. But also, if we are dividing our community and we are choosing a side that doesn't actually truly represent our culture wholeheartedly, then what is our inspiration at that point to fight for making sure our history is being told properly, right? Because we're not honoring our ancestors. So why would we be fighting or honoring the history, you know, of where we came from at that point? You know, it's sort of like, you know, what I talk about, you know, my journey into rediscovering my Latinness almost, right? There was a time period where I turned my back on my own community, and I wasn't as involved or invested in the culture and learning about it or staying up to date on what was going on in Puerto Rico or in Latin America as a whole, right? And I think that is probably a lot of what happened. You know, so many of us felt the need to turn our back on our own community and our own culture that we then didn't really pay attention to what else was going on, right? We didn't prioritize maintaining, you know, our stories, you know, and that's why so many of them are lost, right? And why it's only now as we begin to, you know, as a community and as a generation, you know, find pride in our culture and find, you know, pride in being different, right? And not having to pretend that we're something that we're not, you know. Hollywood is a great example of that. I talk about this all the time, but, you know, now we're hearing so many actors and actresses talk about, you know, oh, this is so groundbreaking. I'm a Latin man, a Latin woman, you know, playing this role, the lead. And it is groundbreaking and it is amazing. But we're only just now making those distinctions and something to be proud of, right? In the past, and probably just a few years ago, they wouldn't have made that distinction. That wouldn't have been something that their PR person led with when it came to, you know, them having the lead in a really big role. You know, they would have, you know, found some other storyline. But now, because we are collectively talking about wanting to celebrate ourselves as Latinos and wanting to fight for the advancement of our community, you know, now we're really having those conversations and having that celebration. And I think making a mark for ourselves as far as saying, like, we're here, we need to be spoken to, we have needs. And sure, we might be influenced by other communities and other cultures that we grew up around just by proximity of being born in this country. But we also want to honor our ancestry and where we came from, because we recognize the beauty in that, right? And the importance in maintaining that connection to where we come from, right? And I think that, you know, it's a beautiful thing, once again, kind of going back to those numbers of the census and all that kind of stuff, to recognize that our generation is really taking that stand and making it a point to take that stand, you know? And I think that this begins to answer maybe some of those questions that we've had as far as where have our voices been? Well, our movement is very young, right? And again, look at many of ourselves listening to this podcast. You know, I think a lot of us maybe just recently really began to find ourselves or embrace ourselves, or maybe you know, always have, but you just felt, you know, awkward about living kind of, you know, in this middle place. You know, maybe you never really shunned your own culture, but you felt self-conscious about who you were in this world, you know? And I think that anybody listening to this, you're stepping into embracing who you truly are. And I think that's what we are kind of doing collectively as a community, which is incredibly beautiful. And I'll kind of table it right there because I feel like that leads us into our conclusions too. Now, no Ask a Gringo segment on today's show. I'll be real with y'all. I totally forgot to put the question out there. I kind of was prepping this one a little bit later in the day and it just got away from me. So my apologies on that one, but we'll do our conclusions too as per normal, tying everything in a neat little bow. But first, let's take a quick break and then we'll be right back.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Time for conclusion soon.
All right, so I think, you know, I've thrown a lot at you today. I've thrown a lot of studies, two different ones that kind of show you where we were and hopefully where we're going, as well as one that brings up a lot of the colorism and sort of generational curse of that many of us have inherited and some continue to kind of sadly embrace, right? Now, when it comes to some of these older numbers, right, I think that you're seeing the past generation and what they felt they had to do to survive, right? And for them, the survival tactic was get as close to whiteness as humanly possible if you want a fair shake in this country. And to their credit, they have never seen anything that would tell them otherwise, right? We are living and have been in a country that since its inception has prioritized whiteness over all other people, right? And why wouldn't you want to give yourself a leg up if you had the opportunity, right? I get it. I completely understand it. Do I think it's right? Of course not. But I understand the sort of feeling of, this is my only shot at surviving and building a better life for my family. So we have to kind of dim our light and hide a bit of who we are in order to find, you know, that American dream. And I think that's incredibly frustrating, obviously, because now looking forward, it explains a lot of why our ideas and our history has been lost, and also why we're only recently beginning to get a seat at the table, right? It's because we didn't represent ourselves. So how could we expect anybody else to represent us, right? To make sure that we had inclusion when we weren't even making it a point to you know, dictate ourselves as something other than black or white. Now, moving forward, when I look at these more recent census results and seeing that millennials are embracing this sort of otherness, right? And saying that it doesn't have to be black or white, there is something in the middle that we, you know, associate ourselves with, right? And saying that, actually, I'm prioritizing not being white, right? Like the idea that not being white is actually a positive thing in our eyes. I think that begins to show you the mindset shift that is happening in our community, in our culture, in this world as a whole, which leaves me with a lot of optimism, right? Is it enough? Of course not. Am I still frustrated about certain things and lack of representation? Absolutely. But I can't help but feel optimistic when I begin to see things like that, when you begin to see the obsession with whiteness and the overvaluing of whiteness, when you begin to see that diminishing, and when we're saying we actually want to truly embrace who we are, where we come from, the beautiful sort of stew and gumbo that is the Latino people of indigenous cultures, African cultures, Caribbean, you know, and Spanish, right? And understanding we are this beautiful amalgamation of different cultures and different, you know, people from different walks of life. You know, when we celebrate that is the most empowering thing, and to see it actually happening, that our generation is changing that conversation. And as a result, by making a stand to say, I'm not white, I'm not black, I'm this, or I am made up of multi, you know, races, I am Afro-Latino, you know, the idea that we are making these distinctions and making a point to be seen and heard as our true selves, that gives me so much hope for the future. And that while maybe we're behind, you know, on some of the movements that you know, our black brothers and sisters have been able to accomplish in this country, you know, we're still incredibly young when it comes to that. We are moving in the right direction, and we are beginning to build those types of things for ourselves and our community and our culture. And we just have to find a bit more patience, especially knowing, you know, the historical context of where we come from and why we've been left out of this conversation for so long. And the last thing I will say, because there's always room for improvement, I want to talk a bit about that idea of colorism, right? Because that study that I talked about, where I think it was 8 out of 10 Latinos were picking the lightest skin tones for what they identified with. This was a topic that was written about in 2021, right? So this is only a year old, and I think that part is a bit disheartening, because we're still unknowingly for many probably living in a bit of that generational curse of seeing blackness as bad and whiteness as good, right? And maybe for many of us, we're breaking out of that shell of associating ourselves or wanting to be white, but we still are carrying around that colonized mindset, right? The colonial poison of the idea that, you know, dark skin is bad or not beautiful, right? And that's something I want to point out as a room for improvement, right? Like we're making great strides, obviously, with some of the census reports, but I want to make sure that we also are still holding ourselves up to the mirror and checking our bullshit. And this is still something that is obviously a problem, and us, you know, feeling like we want to have that fairer skin because it's more valuable. It is something that we have to recognize is colonial poison that's been put down to us and is a generational curse that needs to be broken like fucking yesterday, right? Now, when it comes to the history of where we fell on, you know, certain topics and certain time periods, I hope that this kind of gave you a bit of an eye into sort of maybe why we don't hear much about our stories during that time. The piece about the man and his friends who were, you know, at the mall and some were allowed in the whites, you know, only bathroom and other one was made to go into the colored people only bathroom, I think explains a lot about why you don't hear our point of view during that time period, because some of us enjoyed our proximity to whiteness and others, you know, had to align themselves with, you know, the African-American community because that was what was decided for them, right? They were black and there was no, you know, sort of middle ground for them. And I think that's why many of our stories aren't told and why they're hidden. But again, on a positive ending, it's beautiful to see this next generation stepping up and saying that we are proud to be here. We are proud to be Latinos. We don't need to pick black or white. We can embrace who we are in this country and we deserve to be heard and we want to be heard and we want to be seen as our true selves. And that's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. So, man, to all of us living in that gray area, there is hope and man, that gray area is becoming far more defined than I think it ever has in this country. And as a result, I think you're going to hear more and more of our stories being told and more of our needs being met by the powers that be. Now, with that said, thank y'all so much for tuning into today's episode. I appreciate y'all. Hopefully, this was a different perspective as far as this idea that we always talk about of living in the gray area. Let me know if this resonated at DJ Dramos on Instagram. I always love hearing some feedback. Hopefully, this answered certain questions that others had. I know it did for me. And man, Dramos.com, check out some merch. And like, subscribe. Tell a friend, comment, give us a good review, all that stuff. Super helpful. You already know the deal. And with that said, I'll catch you on Thursday for our Thursday Trends episode. Until then, stay safe, and I'll talk to you soon. Peace. Life as a Gringo is a production of iHeart's My Cultura Podcast Network.
The hit movie Bob Marley One Love is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life of an icon who inspired generations with his message of love, peace, and unity. Rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/One Love to try it free now.
There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20 en español.com.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.